This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We've been talking a lot this week about where ISIS gets its money and how it operates. The quick and dirty version of the money story goes like this. The Treasury Department figures ISIS stole somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion with a B dollars from banks in 2014. And that earlier this year, it was making about $40 million a month from the sale of oil. There is also good old-fashioned extortion and the taxes it levies on people and businesses and the territory it controls. You throw in looting antiquities, kidnapping for ransom, and the list of ISIS revenue sources is long and diverse. Now, how do we know what we know about the items on that list? Tracking terrorist money has changed a lot in the past 15 years, it turns out. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has that story.
Juan Sarati started work at the Treasury Department the summer before 9/11. After the attacks, he was one of the people trying to figure out how to follow the money in the fight against terrorism. He helped set up the Treasury's Office of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence.
When you get to your desk in the morning, what do you do? How do you do this?
Well, to follow the money, what you need in front of you is data. You need information.
Sarati's now with a private advisory firm, the Financial Integrity Network. He says with groups like Al-Qaeda, we got used to using financial tools and sanctions from afar to shut terrorists out of the global financial system. Now, it's harder.
You can't push a button magically in New York or London or Washington to constrict their resources.
ISIS makes money from the territory it controls, from taxing goods that cross its border to selling oil. So the approach has to change.
The terrorist financing of 2015 requires on-the-ground intelligence gathering in environments that we do not control, requires dislodgement of groups from resources and populations that they lord over and profit from. And it really becomes a very much a physical effort.
It's a whole different approach than looking at bank transfers, wire transfers.
Louise Shelley is the director of the Terrorism, Transnational Crime, and Corruption Center at George Mason University.
We need to increasingly focus on the relationship of crime and terrorism so that we don't see these as two separate problems.
She says these days, there isn't much terrorism that doesn't involve some other crime.
For example, one of the terrorists who attacked Charlie Hebdo was trading in counterfeit sneakers. The terrorist who attacked on the Thalys train between Brussels and Paris, he was a small-scale drug trafficker.
Shelley says terrorism investigators need to work better with those focusing on illegal trade or drugs or human trafficking. So yeah, you're still following money transfers, but also mapping the network of counterfeit sneaker suppliers.
And you begin to see the convergence of these activities because the terrorists are generally functioning like diversified business people.
Shelley says both the White House and the UN have called for prioritizing the links between crime and terrorism. She thinks New York and LA are already doing this well, but nationally and internationally?
There's still not enough cooperation.
It is an ongoing issue.
Ray Kelly is the former commissioner of the NYPD, now vice chairman of K2 Intelligence.
But you have to stress that the amount of money needed for a terrorist event is sometimes shockingly small.
So following the money is a tool, not the tool, says Matthew Levitt with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
Sad fact is that there are lots and lots of ways to make, raise, move, access, launder money. Sometimes people assume that following the money will be a panacea, and it's powerful, yes, but it's no panacea.
He says it's extremely unlikely that we could completely shut down funding for a given group or bankrupt them completely. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.